Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. So we nearly came in matching outfits today.
I know. Well, we are very similar. And usually we're quite different, which maybe our autumnal wardrobes are...
morphing into one.
Yeah, more aligned.
You look great.
So do you. I love your outfit.
Thanks very much. You're having a bit of a nightmare with Gigi sleep, aren't you? We're going through it at the moment.
Yeah, I am. And then I've had two good nights. And now I'm like, oh, maybe I've broken it. But I know what happened last time. No, I know. But I'm actually not bragging about it this time. I'm actually like, oh, maybe...
I feel like you weren't bragging about it last time. I feel like you were trying to celebrate the fact that she was a good sleeper.
Yes, yeah.
And we are allowed to do that.
No, I know, I know. And also, like, if we're here giving out tips on sleep and then it's all going completely wrong, why would anybody listen, I guess?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she had about almost 5 days, I reckon, really bad. Like, I have never known it. Like, I never had anything like that with Axel. Nowhere near as bad.
Right.
Waking up, like, first part of the night, she was always okay. And then as soon as we got to go to bed at, like, 10-ish, from then on, every single hour, I would see. And it was just so weird. But now I am kind of wondering. So Axel, the last end of this week, has had... like a really bad throw, a really snotty nose and really bad ears. And then I woke up with it on Saturday morning and I just felt like, ugh.
Heavy.
And now I just wonder, maybe that's what she had. Because she was looking for the dummy. And you know, like if you've got bad ears.
Have you got rid of the dummy?
We had, but now yesterday or the day before, whenever my mum had her, my mum gave it to her and it didn't cause any problems and she completely slept through the night. So I do wonder if it was just her ears. So she was only looking for that dummy because of her ears were hurting.
I mean, I don't think you should stress about the dummy. I mean, you got rid of the dummy with Axel. How old was he?
Before he was one.
Gigi's 16 weeks old.
Yeah, but every child's different, aren't they? So, like, some will, like, search for it and some don't.
Oh, she was searching
for
it.
Yeah, in the night. That's why I stopped, because she just kept... I thought every hour when she was waking up, she was wanting the dummy. But actually, I think every hour she was waking up, her ears were probably killing
her. Ears were hurting.
And that sucky feeling was hurting her ears. Which moves us on.
Literally, just about to say, that sucky feeling. How apt, because... today's conversation, let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
We're talking about sex.
I don't know why I'm so happy, because this is like my nightmare.
You're happy, you say that, but you're actually blushing. If you could see Georgia right now, she's going a real shade of crimson.
You know when you're like dreading a meeting at work and you have to like psych yourself up for it? That's what I've been doing like all weekend. No, anyway.
What have you done for prep? For prep?
I've done some I've been for hypnotherapy. No, I'm joking, I haven't. I have been thinking about it and I thought, do you know what? You're an adult.
Mm.
I'm in a room with somebody that I know and trust and love. So, you know, I can talk about it.
Who's that? Today's guest? Or you? Listen,
well, anyway.
This conversation is not about, you know, the best blowjob that you've ever given, right?
Although
that might come up.
That
might come up and I'm like, no. This conversation is about sex pre and post having kids.
Yes.
When is the right time? How did it feel? We're going to go there today because we feel like it is a really important subject.
Yeah, and it can be a taboo subject as well. It can be like one of the things that you don't share with your friends. You know, you might have met a great bunch of girls who are pregnant at the same time as you, and you're talking about being up in the night, you're talking about piles, you're talking about all these things, but sex might not be up there with what you actually share with them.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of pressure, I think, once you've had your kids to then be like, oh, well, you know, go for your 6 week check and then jump back on.
Yeah.
And a lot of women don't feel like jumping back on at that point
because
it hurts. And I can't wait to talk about this because I actually think you're going to be quite surprised by me today. I'm not going to be that smutty.
What was it like after having Luna when you first had sex?
Really weird.
Yeah.
I was really freaked out about it.
Yeah.
It felt like the very first time that I ever had sex. So it was just like It just felt strange and bizarre, and the whole thing was weird. I sort of just wanted it to be over. It took me a few go, like a good couple of months to feel, okay, well, this is nice again.
Yes, yeah. That's the one.
Same for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think I built it up to be this huge thing in my head. And it definitely wasn't comfortable, and it was pretty awful, actually, thinking about it. But then as it went on, it got better and better. But then with Gigi, I think I've said before, it was totally normal, like straight away. And so sometimes I wonder, a mixture of, I had stitches with Axel, I didn't have stitches with Gigi. So physically, I was in a lot better shape.
Yep.
But mentally, I hadn't built it up to be such a big thing in my head, because I think I wasn't really worried about it, because I remember thinking, oh, well, if this is rubbish, it's going to, you know, that's
rubbish.
Fine. No, but it's fine because I know it gets better again, so it doesn't matter. Mm. It wasn't this whole like, oh my God, so this is going to be the rest of my life now.
Sure.
You know, it was just like, oh, well. But and it was okay. So.
And it's been all right.
Yeah.
So I've actually had a bizarre experience the second time round, because the first time round, okay, yeah, it felt weird after Luna, but it quickly got good.
Yeah.
You know, it quickly got better and I started to enjoy it again. And our sex life was absolutely wonderful. This time round, our sex life is great, but I'm experiencing pain, which I'm going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that a lot of women will go through this, or are going through this, and don't know what it is. I've been to see the doctor about it a lot, but in certain positions I get pain during sex, and it's kind of like, that's not what you're supposed to equate sex to. Sex is supposed to be climax and orgasm and, you know, mind-blowing, not agony.
Yeah, so, absolutely not.
And
no.
I think the person that we're chatting to today, I feel, is very versed to discuss sex with us. When you meet her in person?
Oh, she loves a good sex chat. In fact, her and Zoe like are pretty much on a par there.
We are. Total filth buckets. You'll know her on Instagram as Life with Ivy Coco. It is the wonderful Kerry Northcott. Never have I been happier to record a podcast than on this day.
And never have I been shitting myself so much.
Never has Georgia looked more uncomfortable. But no, on a serious note, this is not going to be a podcast about filth. It is going to be...
Well,
you say that. Listen, the woman sitting... The woman sitting opposite us today is a mate of Georgia,
Georgia
and mine.
I was going to say, is filth.
Is filth.
He's a friend of Georgia and mine. She used to be is a makeup artist. She then decided, no, do you know what? I'm not going to go and do that. I'm going to start a new career, a new blog. She had her family, Ivy, who is 5. And then she started Life with Ivy Coco. Yes. Sitting opposite us today is Kerry Northcott.
Hello.
Hello.
Is that your surname right? Is it Northcott or Northcott?
Northcott.
Okay, good. Yes.
Got it right.
Yes.
That's all good.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're excited.
I'm not excited.
I've been so excited. This is something every time I see you, we always talk about.
Yeah.
Without even intending to go off into that conversation. We just can't help ourselves.
We always end up talking about sex.
Yeah, always. I love talking about sex. I feel like because I don't really talk about it that much on social, as soon as I'm like let loose and around people that will happily sit and discuss sex and self-servicing, I'm all for...
Do you talk about it? That was going to be my opening question. Is it something that you discuss at all across
your socials?
Oh, yeah,
I'm more than happy to... Oh, do I discuss it on social?
Yeah.
No, the reason why I don't is only because I've got like my husband's work, some of his work friends following me and like my mum, which I don't mind. I'm always quite happy to talk to my mum about it, but I've got like some of her customers and clients that follow me. So I don't want her to be doing their hair and them saying, oh, we really enjoyed Kerry's talk about what vibrator she's been using lately. Do you know what I mean? So that's the only reason why I'm more than happy to talk about it.
Sure.
But I just feel, I just respect those around me.
That's fair enough.
That is fair enough. I mean, my dad follows Zoe and I on Instagram. So yeah, I mean, Dad, if you're listening, this is a podcast which you turn off.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your relationship with your husband and the differences between now and pre-baby, pre-IV, and what kind of changes? Because I think a lot of people will be going through that moment maybe of just having a baby and feeling like their sex life will never get back to where it was.
Yeah, so me and Mr. Coco, I can't remember him calling that, we have quite similar sex drives. We're not like always gagging for it. We're quite chilled out and we can have a laugh about not wanting to do it if the other one doesn't. We don't get offended by it. But obviously before, well, we've been with each other for 12 years. So before Ivy, it wasn't it was still like a little bit dry then, really, because we've been with each other for so long. Do you know what I mean? Like, we had that all four times a day at the very beginning, and then we was like living with each other and stresses, and he's got a really demanding
job. The honeymoon phase.
Yeah, it kind of really faded out. You know, we've been living with each other for 12 years and been with each other for 12 years. So we've, you know, it's quite... We went really hard in the beginning of our relationship, literally. So I feel like we've made up for it. We made up for, like, the dry periods right at the beginning.
Yep.
So nothing has really changed because we've never been, like, twice a week kind of people.
Right.
Just because of work life.
Yeah, and I think, do you know what?
And we're fine with that,
yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? It's only a problem when there's a massive imbalance.
Yes.
And quite a lot of people on our Instagram, for instance, will write into us and be like, listen, like, I've just had a baby. My husband really wants to have sex. Yeah. My partner really wants to have sex again. I just don't feel ready. Or, you know, I just don't feel confident in myself. And there's usually some sort of imbalance which causes a problem.
Yeah.
So do you remember after having Ivy, when did you first have sex? How did you feel? Were you nervous?
The first time we had sex was actually like... I was really nervous. It was literally like losing your virginity all over
again.
That's
what I say.
It's the weirdest thing. And it's like, oh, is that okay? It's really awkward, uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable.
And I was like cracking up because that's so gross. God, I'm going to say this.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, I was very aware that I thought it was going to feel a lot looser.
Yeah.
And I felt a lot tighter and I had stitches.
Yeah.
And I joked saying, did you like give him an extra 50 quid to like tighten things up down there? Because it felt like, actually, I'm kind of enjoying this more. Like my nun feels better than what it did before child, actually.
That's so interesting. I know. It felt better for you.
It felt better for me. I don't know. It was really weird. He said it as well.
Did it go back to feeling good so straight away? As in, did because a lot of people and my experience, it took a good like 2-3 months for me to sort of start enjoying it again.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's the panic as well. Like they say, like you're gonna be really fertile afterwards, you know.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So and I was not ready. Had no plans in my head to have another baby straight away either. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that sort of panicked me. And just the whole, and I have like a, I've had issues with my nun before. Like they thought I had endometriosis, and I've had like, what's it like, coloscopies and things in. We didn't have like sex for like a year once because I had like bleeding after sex. It just was like, so I've always had issues in that area.
Yeah.
So that was just like something else that kind of worried me in the back of my head when we first started doing it after Ivy, because I've just always had stuff going on.
There's always stuff going on,
There's always stuff going on down there. It's a bloody nuisance.
Yeah, I think we're expected to. My experience of it is we're expected to go for our six-week check.
Yeah.
And everyone talks about it. Get to your six-week check. Get to your six-week check. And then you'll be great. And then you'll be wanting to, you know.
Some people do it straight away.
Some people do it straight away.
That is why they keep the curtains open.
In hospitals. We're not going to talk about that today.
I didn't know what curtain she was talking about, though.
Really? Yeah. Some people like to do it straight away. Others, you know, have anxieties around it.
And, really?
But also the pressure of having to do it again.
Yes.
I mean, then nothing says kill a sexy moment like a bit of pressure.
No, and exactly.
I think when it comes to sex, there is so much pressure. There's so much pressure. We do it three times a week.
Oh, God.
Oh, we do it like this. Or we have to, you know, and... There's always, even like as girls and guys, you're always going to feel inadequate. Like we have, as I said, we've got quite similar sex drives. But sometimes I think, why doesn't he want to have sex with me 3 times a week? Like, I think his husband wants to have sex with her 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's always so many... We've not had sex for a month and it's been amazing.
Right.
And only because we have just been really, really enjoying... You know, I've just had my lounge done up. And we're really enjoying just sitting on the sofa and watching telly because we didn't have that space before. And we're really enjoying being each other's company than rushing off to bed and doing it.
That is my favourite comment that you've ever said. We've just had my lounge done up. And, you know, we're just enjoying sitting in that space.
I don't want to have sex. I just want to sit on my sofa.
We do. We both want to sit there and watch a series. We just really want to enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
And it's been really nice getting back to that. and having that time and that space for each other.
But how great that you're in a relationship that having sex for a month, well, it doesn't really matter, and yeah. it's not an issue for either of you. How fantastic. Because I do think, like, going back to this yeah. pressure thing, that you go for the check and then they go, right, you can go and have sex now.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't want to have sex yeah.
mentally,
at that point.
Exactly. Mentally. Take away your nun, like, mentally.
Yeah.
Like, and all also, the emotions yeah. that you go through after giving birth. I was an emotional wreck and continually panicked that I was going to drop an iron on Ivy's head for some reason. Not even that I ever ironed, but you know, all the, your mind plays so many tricks. Can you imagine yeah. feeling the pressure to go and have sex with your husband?
I know. And also, quite often you have the baby in your room for yeah. the first 6 months
mm. and that's weird.
That's so weird.
That is very weird.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I still absolutely don't feel comfortable if so, Gigi's in the room. I'm like, whoa, no.
Yeah.
And if she really? Makes a little, yeah, no, I just yes. don't like it.
You just
no.
use one hand for the dummy and one hand on the
I
penis
mean.
No, I'm with you. It
no,
freaks me
it
out.
It freaks me out it so much. Out.
They don't know what's going on.
I know. It's just but even weird. A dog in the room would freak me
oh,
out.
A dog is different. They can like, stare at you.
What?
It's weird. Yeah, no. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
I was the same.
Really?
Yeah, I probably used it as some sort of excuse as well to get out of it.
What were your insecurities, or what did you struggle with after you had Ivy?
What?
In the like in the bed, I guess, kind of, because there is that moment where you're sort of having to be there with your partner and be very vulnerable and be naked again, and you're looking at your bodies. And for me, it was my boobs. Let's take that for example.
Yeah, see, I'm not. See, you know what I'm like on Instagram. I'm not really like that overly thingy with my body with him.
You're not overly what?
Like worried about how I look and stuff.
That's great though.
That is
and
amazing.
I was probably slimmer after I had Ivy than what I am now. So. It didn't really bother me in that sense, body-wise. But I think that's because, obviously, we've been with each other such a long amount of time. He's seen me go for everything. Mm. You know, we're lucky in that part, that side of our relationship. We can joke and he say, all right, there, you put on a bit of weight, and, you know, and it wouldn't necessarily bother me because I'd be like, all right, look at your ears, mate. You know, like, we've got that, you know, we have that sort of, like, banter, right. that sort of, like, friendship relationship we can take like, the mick out of each other. So, for me, I can't really say I really had any body insecurities afterwards, but that's just because of how I am with my body.
What about your body? What about mind insecurities? Because it is all about how you feel about yourself. So, you yeah. felt good in yourself.
Yeah, well, not really. I was in a really bad place. Like, it wasn't really after Ivy. For me, it hit me around the 1 year mark. That's when insecurities got me, like, stretch marks and stuff. Really silly, for some reason, really, really affected me.
Right.
And I wasn't right in my mind. And I thought, if I can fix my body, that will fix my mind. And that happened at 1 year after Ivy.
So talk
I went
us through
like, bad
what, yeah, what happened.
I had bad friendships. I felt very lonely. I'd started the business Coco in Indy, which at the time was Miss Coco's Closet. That took a lot of my time. Just standard, like, mum guilt, working too much, always stressed out. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought, if I lose weight and I can get rid of my stretch marks and I'm going to feel better and that's going to just fix everything. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's not the case. It doesn't work like that. So for me, it was a lot later on than after Ivy directly. That's when it affected me. 1 year mark.
We do hear that actually, yeah. that it can come in waves, and actually you can almost get bundled up in that first kind of 6 to 12 month bubble where
yes.
you just kind of, it's almost like you're sort of numb because you're just like a hamster yeah. in a wheel,
yeah,
just trying to keep
afloat.
Yeah, and
you have this new baby and you're just like there with your partner in this baby and you're like, oh, Ivy was a really good baby. But
yeah.
at 1 year was just when things changed with the business and with him. And
I was going to say, at 1 year, it's almost when a lot of people go back to work
yes.
or they sort of get into real life again,
exactly.
if that makes sense. Like 1 year, like for, you know, for at me now, Gigi's 4 months.
Yeah.
If something's going wrong, I'm always like, oh, but I've just had a baby.
Yeah,
you've always got that,
yeah,
haven't
you?
You
fall back on it.
Yeah, mm. in your head. But I think when you get to 1 year, you think, oh no, this is actually my life now. This
yeah.
is how it is.
And I think that's why, like, body-wise afterwards, it didn't really bother me.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it was just because I was very lonely and I wasn't in a good... I kind of say, like, I feel like I had, like, postnatal depression at 1 year... when she was 1 year old.
Did you really?
I feel like I did. I feel like it wasn't something I spoke about. I couldn't click with people at mum groups. I could never imagine talking to them about sex and stuff. You know, like just having normal, being comfortable with people. I didn't have that. I had family that didn't live near me. So I was very lonely and I was in a very dark place.
Mm. How did that affect your relationship?
I kind of like block these sort of things out.
Yeah.
like, Yeah, it was hard. It was really hard because he doesn't know what he's doing, really. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't know how to be with me, and because I was like a totally different person. Wasn't confident, wasn't happy in myself. Yeah, just so he didn't really know what to do with that.
And how did you come through it? How did you sort of come out the other side?
Instagram.
Instagram.
Did you really?
Yeah, like when I started like Life with Ivy Coco and I started to make other friends who we had similar interests, and I really started to find myself and like who I was before Ivy, and that was the massive turning point, just being around people and getting out and... Yeah, that was basically...
Talking.
Just talking.
Because Instagram is such a brilliant way of, talking, actually.
Talking, but it's finding people. Mm. It's basically like Tinder for mums, in a sense, because there's so many people out there, you can be like, oh, I really like the way they dress their kid. I dress my kid like that. Like, I used to take Ivy to baby group in Burberry dresses, giant bows on her hair when she was like 4 months old, and other kids, which was fine, had like mismatched colour leggings, you know, so they were never into, I used to like get done up. That used to be like a day out for me, going to baby group for like an hour.
I wore sequin trousers to a baby group
that.
Once. And this is when we were in Cheltenham, and
I wasn't there then.
Funny.
One of James's friends from work's wife had just had a baby, and like we met up, and I literally turned up in these sequin trousers, and she literally looked at me like, oh no, this isn't how it works. no, you can't wear those.
Oh my god.
She was only joking, but I was suddenly like, but I haven't been out all week. Yes. I've been wanting to wear these joggers.
This is my outing.
It is your outing when you've, and I just didn't have a circle, so for me that was my outing.
Yeah,
but I didn't really know how to deal with that side of me, do you know what I mean? Because I just weren't even there with it, so it was kind of like we just kind of like just went along on autopilot then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we just kind of plodded along, both of us.
What was happening during that period with intimacy?
Well, as I said, we're not really like huge sex goers anyway, so we just kind of plodded along with it. But I never really wanted to do it. He always was the initiator with it, always, because I never wanted to, because my mind was somewhere else. I never felt sexy or like, oh, come on. We never had like the laugh. Obviously we had good times, making it sound really shit, but you know, when you just don't feel yourself in your head, the last thing I want to do is have sex.
I know.
Yeah, completely agree.
You know, it's the same with being stressed at home. When you're stressed and you've had like a crap day at work, last thing you think, oh yeah, come on.
Totally.
But then for some people, it's the opposite, isn't it? Because it's a release.
Well, this is where we go on to self-servicing.
Self-servicing is such an important part of life.
It is. Men talk about it, so why can't we?
Yeah.
And I used to be such a prude about this.
Yeah.
Like someone bought me a bullet as like a piss tape because I was such a prude about it, and the thought of it was like, oh, get that away from me.
So someone bought you a little bullet.
Just as a joke, because I was just like, and I remember, I can't remember when it was, I was sewing and I felt really agitated, really stressed out, and you know, just like you can't work out why, but you're really ags up. And as we've spoken before, I don't orgasm through sex. It's something he knows. It's just impossible. And
neither do I, by the way, holding my hand up here. Yeah.
Neither do I. All three of us.
See what I mean? It's so
most. Our producer's just lifting her eyebrows.
Yeah,
it's very hard, and that's another thing people don't talk about. No. I enjoy having sex, but it's just never been the one for me. So, so I got the bullet out one day, and I got in the bath and like had set myself a full on like romantic scene as if I was having a date with the bullet, and it was the best thing. The best thing I've ever done. And I think even he would say exactly the same, because it's not even a sexual thing for me. It is just a release.
Yeah, of course
it is. It's the only moment I'm not thinking about him, Ivy, housework, work.
Yeah.
I'm in my own little headspace for 5 minutes and it's over and done with. And then I just go back. It gives me a bit of energy if I feel tired, if I feel stressed, it's a release. And it is. You know, the feeling of an orgasm, you literally feel it over your head.
Yeah.
It is like a full-on release.
Out of body. Out of body.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing, but it is, you can kind of feel it. As soon as it comes over, you can feel the shit just like, whoa.
It's so true. And you always sleep really well afterwards. Yes. My issue is that we're supposed to, as parents, function at such a high level of responsibilities. We're always looking after the kids.
Yeah.
We've always got stuff to do for them. Then we've got the home. Then we've got our partners. Then we've got our jobs. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, what about us?
Exactly. You know, it's no wonder why people suffer so badly with mental health after kids.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because it is such like it's such a head fuck. There's so many. When we've always got to have everything leveled, the perfect control of your work, your life, and your kids, and all of that. Like Anna and Martha.
Yeah.
Did the cup tests of like pouring stuff in and trying to get everything at the same level. It's just impossible. You can't do it, and there's no time for yourself. So finding that time, whatever it is, if it is getting your bullet out, there is nothing wrong with
or
that.
Or your sonar, my favourite dildo of all time.
The sonar?
Oh, yeah.
I've not tried that. I'm kind of like in love with my Lalo at the minute.
Oh, yeah, well, it's part of it. It's by Lalo.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but it's a sonar. It's a clitoral stimulator. It's incredible. But I feel like shut the door, let everybody just have an orgasm.
Yeah.
Because orgasms change lives. You.
Orgasms change lives.
They do.
They really,
and
really
it's
do.
It's okay if your partner doesn't make you orgasm through sex. Just get your toy and, out and
yeah,
have a go at it. Because,
out.
But, you know, that might not be your bag. But I feel like if you try it once, it might be.
And the funniest thing is when we've tried to do it together, it doesn't work.
Oh, we've mastered that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. And I feel like maybe I just need to get drunk. And I feel like it's because I'm such a control freak as well. So when I have sex, I don't switch off.
Right.
There's still probably stuff like tabs going in my head. Whereas when I'm on my own, I can switch off and I'm like, oh my God, I can relax now.
Yeah, it's just some time for yourself,
it's
isn't
just,
it?
Yeah, it's no different than having a bath.
Yeah, exactly.
Like men have a wank to de-stress. It's exactly the same for women. You know, have a bath, have a hot chocolate.
It is, but it's just some time for yourself.
You've spoken about trying for a second baby.
Yes.
So this isn't necessarily the fun chat now, because what's been going on for the last...
No, I still quite enjoy talking about this, because people don't talk about trying for a baby.
This does involve sex.
Everyone tries for a baby. And again, that is a whole nother lonely experience in itself, trying for a baby, because no one wants to talk about trying for a baby. Everyone just tries behind the scenes and go, yeah, it's actually taken us 8 months.
Yeah.
When it really, again, is a huge head fuck, because you try your whole entire life not to get pregnant. So you think you're going to have sex and you're going to get pregnant. It don't happen. So we've been trying for what? 18, 19, 20 months. I've literally lost count now. And this is what I'm saying. Like, we've not had sex for a month because I was like, do you know what? I just want to take a bit of time off. It, like, just overcomes you. Like, and even if I say, no, I'm fine, I actually kind of, like, don't want to get pregnant this month because I'm doing this. As soon as you wipe and you realise you're on your period again, you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. Secretly, deep down, like, you think
you're going to do reverse psychology by saying you don't want to get pregnant.
I'm not that fussed about it, but really... You don't mean that. So hence why I've said, let's just take a month off and just like enjoy each other and have sex, because like we actually want to have sex, which we had to do. So yeah, it's just such a lonely thing, and I wish more people spoke about it.
Yeah, and also...
And not with the stories, it took me 8 months and now I'm pregnant, because that doesn't help anyone.
No, and also the intimacy within the trying. Like, I was chatting to my friend yesterday who was like, we are having to have sex every single day and that sex is functional and I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and it is. It's crap. And even if you pissed you off that day, and then you've got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and the time, the month we got pregnant with Ivy is the month that I took, and it really consumed my head with Ivy really badly, to the point I was late on periods because my head was so, like, overcome with it.
Yeah.
And every little thing I'd be, oh, I think it is this month, Mum, because my boob and this, and I've just checked my knickers, and I definitely think that is, like, spotting.
Yeah.
You know, it was such a consuming thing, and the month that we got pregnant with Ivy is the month we only did it once, and I said I wanted a month off.
Yeah.
So, and I purely am doing this because we're going away for Christmas. I want to enjoy it. I don't want the stress of actually being, knowing my luck will fall pregnant before we go away. I just want to go away and enjoy the time I have with the child that I actually have here before I'm creating another one, you know?
Yeah, because it can consume you, really, can't it? Like, especially if you, like, peeing on the ovulation sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
You suddenly think, okay, I absolutely have to have sex now. And how can... I guess how can you relax when you in your mind you're trying to do something so big?
Yeah, and the symptoms are so similar, aren't they, to periods? So every little twinge, every little feeling, you're like, I'm definitely on this month.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
And I just thought, I can't do this anymore, so I'm just going to take some time off and just get back to enjoying each other's company, which we have been. And it's been so, so nice. These past few weeks, we've been having such a laugh with each other, and he's been off work this week because he's been ill and like just helping with the house. And it's just been really, really nice just to be in each other's company and not feel the pressure of...
Would that be what you would tell people if you had any advice to give them for people that are trying and it's not happening, to take the pressure off?
I can't really give advice, can I? I'm still not bloody pregnant.
No, but as in giving a break to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but it's so easy to say that, and I don't want to be the person to say, hey, take some time off, don't... Because it still stresses me out, and even if I'm taking time off. Mm. Yeah. I still really want Ivy to have a brother and sister, and I've got a five-year-old keep saying to me, when am I going to have a sister? When am I going to have a brother? And it's more for her, if anything, because I want her to have a sibling. So I can't give anyone advice, because no matter what anyone says to you, it's not going to help.
No.
It's not going to help.
It's easier said than done, isn't
it? It's easier said than done, exactly. And to say to someone, oh, just relax, have a glass of wine.
Stop thinking about it.
Stop thinking about it. That's, you can't say that, really, because it is going to... It's a human life. It's not like... So it is, you know, but just talking about it with people will make you feel so much better. If I have any advice, talk about it, because you don't know who else is going in the same thing.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel better knowing that everyone else is stressing out trying for a baby instead of thinking it's you and there's something wrong, or... all the reasons of why it's not happening and what to do and cut out. And, you know, I went through like, oh, I need to cut this out and I should be cutting this out. And then I was like, hold on a second. There's heroin addicts out there getting pregnant. So why can't I have a coffee?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. You know, I've been pregnant twice before when we was traveling, which I've also spoken about openly. You know, we made the choice to have a termination. Mm. And I wasn't cutting anything out then. I was just doing what I'm doing, living my best life.
Yeah. Well, I often talk about how actually neither of my pregnancies were planned. So
yeah.
if we were to have tried, I have no idea what would have happened.
Yes.
I wasn't on the pill for like 8 years, maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
I've been with my husband for a long time. I was never on the pill.
Yeah.
You had no accidents, did you?
We did when I was a lot younger.
Right.
Yeah, at 19, which I also, I had the same, I had a termination.
Yeah.
So in the back of my head, I knew I could get pregnant.
Yeah.
But we were not using contraception for all that time, and we did get pregnant.
Yeah.
But essentially, we were trying for all that time.
Yeah.
So you just don't know. Like, you don't know how it's going to go.
No, and that's why I was just like, I'm just going to take the stress off of it. Like, we're not going to not try. Mm. But I really am just in such a content, good place with our relationship and what we're doing with ourselves at the minute.
Yeah. And having sex for fun.
And having sex, well, hopefully soon.
Next month.
Next month. Next month, we'll have sex for fun, hun. If you're listening. I promise.
Make sure you give me a call about that and let me know how it goes down. Not Georgia, me.
No, not me.
Yeah, I'm not going to ring Georgia.
Don't ring me.
Listen, at the end of every podcast, it's a shame, really, because there's so many more things that I want to
We'll do a nighttime one.
Do a nighttime one.
Get me
drunk.
We'll do a nighttime boozy one. That's what we should do. We said this, didn't we? We'll do it with June.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it with June.
And we'll get Katie as well.
Yes.
The mum lifestyle. I love her.
I've not even started on Pornhub yet.
Oh my God. I really wanted to talk to you about porn. I feel like
we'll save
we should
it.
Save
we'll do it.
It
again. We'll talk about porn another day.
All right. I just did an interview.
All right. I'll send you a voice.
There was a
the
thing, mums making porn. There was a programme, wasn't
I
there?
I watched it.
Did
really?
You? See, I think I watched
I don't
the first
make
one.
Porn.
No, not be
it.
In it.
No. They directed it, what they wanted their kids to see. It was actually really,
really
good.
Interesting.
They made their kids to see.
They wanted a storyline.
Oh.
Like a storyline and like a bit of intimacy and all the things you want from sex.
Yeah. There is quite a lot of that out there though.
I'm not into the storylines. I've only got 3.5
straight
minutes.
Straight to it.
So I've got to turn the chips over. Right. Yeah. At the end of every podcast, we ask our guests to talk about their 5 favourite products around that subject.
Oh God, you should have prepared me for this.
I thought I had. Did I not send it in the message?
No.
Oh, no.
5 favourite products.
So, I mean, if you've got any like favourite dildos.
Or to do
like
sex, confidence, anything like that.
I hate the word dildo. I hate the word
dildo.
Not
a dildo.
It just sounds so savage.
Dildo.
Dildo.
Any books that you like? Any lube that you like? Any underwear you like?
Well, lube we're currently using, like, the one that apparently doesn't kill sperm off. Whatever one that is. It's like a first... It's a white and pink tube. I don't know the name of it, but it's supposed to not kill sperm off.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yes.
We'll find it in
I'll find I'll find the name of it. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
And it's quite slippery and sliding.
Just what you want from lube.
Pornhub. But also, on your browser, you can also click a private browser. So you can then go on and watch all your weird, dirty stuff without them finding out.
Oh, my God.
Top tip for everybody.
I did not think that we would be discussing... Listen, porn's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. It was never for me. But it is now.
Who knew, hey?
Laylo.
The Laylo, yeah.
You're with me on that.
Totally with you on that.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's expensive.
They are like 199 quid.
But they're on sale now.
But they're on sale.
I got on sale for 60 quid. I've got mine on sale drunk. Bullets, love a bullet.
Yeah, you can get one actually.
I prefer bullets than vibrators.
Poundland have just launched their bullets. Yeah, they're £8. Don't turn your nose up at it.
But why Poundland?
It's a sensitive area, isn't it? I don't really want to put like a £1 bullet. What if it
they're not £1, they're £8.
Oh, okay, it's £8. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, like, what if it like...
Most expensive item in Poundland.
Zatcha bean. yeah, so bullets, I always think are a good
and
one.
And one more.
I still go into Anne Summers and say, can you gift wrap it as if it's a gift?
Oh my God, that's what I need to do.
That's what you need to do. I just go and love
that
honey.
That's such a good idea.
Love honey. Yeah, and then I think that's it.
That's
five
it.
Things.
That's plenty.
Four. That's, yeah.
That's plenty fine. From you. Thank You've been amazing. You. Thank you.
Thanks
you
for enjoyed having it. Me. I've loved it. I could talk about this all day.
Thank
long.
God we haven't got any more time.
Yes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle, or upgrade to next level protection with the Wool Runner Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Oh my God. That was my favourite chat.
I loved that chat, actually.
You were better than I thought.
Thank you.
Just less awkward in places. This could be the start of like the new porno G.
It could be. Who knows?
Do you think, or are you going red again? She's going red again, everyone.
Anyway, let's get to our products.
Yes. So this could seriously be the best five products of all time here. I'm going to kick us off, obviously. You know, I'm a massive fan of bringing toys into the bedroom because I feel like, well, it's something that I did before I had my kids. So there's no reason why, you know, I shouldn't do it post kids.
No, it shouldn't make any difference.
Lots of people don't like using them. That's absolutely fine. But there are some really great ones on the market and they can add like a little bit of extra spice in your sex life. So my favourite toy at the moment is called the Sonar. It's a clitoral stimulator. So what it does is you basically, it's got like a little kind of hole in it basically, and you sort of place it over your clitoris, and then it does that this suction thing where it goes whoop, whoop, whoop. I know this is hard for you, but basically it gives you the most incredible orgasm. I mean, it really,
everyone runs to wherever you buy one.
Seriously, the Sonar, you have to go out and buy it, and it's on sale at the moment. I think it's like 59 quid. Have a little Google S-O-N-A.
Don't buy a dress in Zara. Go and get one of those.
This will change your
be
life.
Be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Second, it's called Yes, 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 and it's a lube. It's got like no nasties in it. So quite often, if you're really tense or straight after having a baby, using a lube is quite important and it does really help. Or even just in general.
I use a lube every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
I need it.
Yeah, so.
Yes, Yes, Yes.
Yes, Yes, Yes. And you can get it on Amazon. I think it's like 5 quid or something like that.
Perfect. Yeah. Love that. So this is something that I have spoken about before, actually, but it's called the appreciation game. And I just kind of want to put this into your heads, because a lot of the time with struggling with intimacy is, you know, tired, long days, not making the time for the two of you. And, you know, you just get into this real kind of vortex of like, have you got the nappies? You know, did you pick up the bananas?
Yeah. And just not being nice to each other.
Yeah.
And so also, if you've been bickering all day, then you just probably the last thing you want to do is have sex. So if you actually take some time just to be nice to each other.
Yeah, and play this game called the appreciation game, where you basically sit in front of each other cross-legged, put some candles on, or if you find candles too cheesy, leave the candles out of it. You can either be clothed or you can be naked, and you set a 5-minute timer on your phone. One of you starts off by telling the other person for 5 minutes what they've done, you know, over the last few weeks that you appreciate them for. And then you pass it over. They then spend 5 minutes telling you how much they appreciate you. And I'm telling you what, it not only makes you really like that person again, but it makes you want to have sex with them. Because they've told you how much they appreciate
you. I think it's such an, I really think it's such a nice idea. Really, really. And really important for parents as well, because you can get a bit lost with all the stuff you need to do day to day. And you kind of forget just to be nice to each other.
Yeah.
So that is a good one. So for me, before I had Gigi, I never used to not match my underwear. Ever.
She ain't lying.
And it's only since Gigi I've stopped. And that's mostly because my boobs are smaller now. So like none of the frills fit me anymore. So I need to go and buy a whole new load of underwear. But I do think that being in some nice sexy underwear, well, it doesn't even have to be really sexy, but just like nice.
Matching.
Matching can make you feel like nicer. And I know for me, like if I feel gross, the last thing I want to do is have sex. So if I feel nice, then I'm more likely to want to. So some of my favourite brands, like Myla is
we
lovely.
We love Myla.
Bluebella. And Bluebella looks super expensive, but it's actually really not.
It's kind of about £35-36 for a bra and then like £16 for a pair of knickers.
Exactly. So not bad at all. But also Rosie Huntington Whiteley has a range for M&S, and some of her stuff is absolutely beautiful. And that you obviously everyone knows their size in M&S. It's pretty easy to go and pick those up. So
and also if you are worried about sizing, you know, pre and post baby, you can go in there. They've got a fantastic bra service in there where they can measure you.
Exactly.
And we love Marks.
Oh yeah, love M&S. Can't go wrong.
And then finally, this is again kind of along the lines of taking some time out for you and your partner in the bedroom, and something that you might not have considered doing before. But Dozer and I have started using this kind of, it's called a single feather. So it comes on like a wand and there's a big feather on the end of it. And then for a few minutes before any sort of touching or kissing goes on, sometimes, not every time, we'll use the feather and kind of put it in our erogenous zones, around our necks, around our ear, on our inside of our legs, all things like that, just to kind of get the senses heightened again.
I think it's such a nice idea.
It is a nice idea.
Yeah, it is. And like, I guess it can relax you, can get you in the mood. It's actually just really fun as well.
It also, sometimes we laugh throughout the whole thing, by the way. We're not like 50 Shades in it here. We are like laughing at our own hilarity, but it does kind of, it wakes me up anyway. We've got through the podcast and Georgia hasn't had a heart attack.
Had a heart attack. I haven't been sick. And believe it or not, I didn't have any alcohol.
And have you enjoyed it
this morning? I have. It's been good. I feel like it's been liberating
okay.
for me.
Just wait for podcast number two on sex. Who do you want? Send your messages in.
Wait till I've got my own sex podcast.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's really not.
Listen, as always, that is the end of the chat today. But as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And of course, if you do go on there, please, please, please give us a little 5-star review, because that helps kind of spread the Made by Mama's word.
And if you have got any feedback on today's episode or any others, please drop us a line at Made by Mama's or on Zoe's personal channel at Zoe Hartman.
And we will be back next week with more chat, sadly not about sex.
Damn it. That's it for at least a few episodes.
We'll see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.